It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary hosted by me, Spencer. That's me. The first word in this episode is forswear or forsworn. Forswear. That's the first forswear. The other word is forsworn, and these are variations of forswear and forsworn without the E in the middle. So those will be later in the Fs. All right. Ooh, got to make a sound effect. I'm going to go shloom. Shloom. The next word is foretaste. Where's the emphasis? Foretaste. This is the first form. It is a noun from the 15th century. Number one, a small anticipatory sample. I'm anticipating what this little, unique little cracker thing will taste like with a little bit of mushy stuff on top. What will this taste like? I shall do a foretaste to just do take a little sample. Just a little sample in my foretaste. Ooh, I like it very much. I shall eat the whole thing. Number two, an advance indication or warning. An advance indication or warning. The tornado's coming, and we're going to give you a little foretaste of what that might be. Here's some high winds. A synonym is prospect. Ooh, like there's a prospect on the horizon. Ooh, it's a foretaste. Ah. Shloom. The second form of foretaste is a transitive verb from the 15th century. It means to taste beforehand. And the synonym is anticipate. To taste beforehand. I don't know. The connection between tasting beforehand and anticipate, it's not connecting for me. If you taste beforehand, you have a little taste of something, either literally tasting or getting a little sample of something. Anticipate is more like, I'm waiting for this thing to happen. But a foretaste is you got some of it. But I don't know. It's just not, I don't love that. I don't love that. Maybe you can come up with an example sentence of how it would make more sense for me. Can you please do that? To taste beforehand. I'm gonna go taste some stuff, but before I really taste it. I haven't done a real taste. Just gonna taste it beforehand. Foretaste. I don't think people use this. Shloom. Now we have foretell. This is a transitive verb from the 14th century. It is to tell beforehand, and the synonym is predict. You're telling them before the thing happens. This one is so much more, makes so much more sense to me than foretaste. Literally telling. We had foresay, I think, a couple of episodes ago. Same idea. Foreteller is a noun, which maybe got stretched out to fortune teller. Is fortune related to the fore prefix in some way? Oh, I don't know. But we have some synonym information. Foretell, predict, forecast, prophecy. Should that be prophesize? Prophecy, prognosticate. All of those words mean to tell beforehand. Foretell applies to the telling of the coming of a future event by any procedure or any source of information, as in, seers foretold the calamity. They used whatever means they needed to learn about the calamity and then tell people about the calamity. Calamity Jane? And then predict. Commonly implies inference from facts or accepted laws of nature, as in, astronomers predicted an eclipse because they knew the speed of the planets moving and the earth and the sun, and where they're going to be at a certain time. And they're like, oh my gosh, look at that. The pathway of this thing matches the pathway of this thing at this very moment in time. And we're going to have a thing where they all line up. What? Wow, we used data and science to figure this out. That's the thing about predict. And we had something else before. I don't know. I don't remember. One of those many, many, many words about learning something beforehand. Using the data. It was the maybe in the foresee synonyms. I know things, learning things based on this, the information that I got. Forecast adds the implication of anticipating eventualities and differs from predict in being usually concerned with probabilities rather than certainties, as in forecast snow. We got a pretty good idea of what's going to happen. We don't know for sure because there are factors that we cannot predict for. So that's why it's forecast. Prophecy connotes inspired or mystic knowledge of the future. Mystic knowledge of the future, especially as the fulfilling of divine threats or promises. As in the example, prophesying a new Messiah. Now, I thought that would have been prophesizing, but they're using the word in a way that I'm not used to. Prophesying a new Messiah. So where did they get their information from? They did not get it from the Doppler radar. They did not get it from the star charts, the starts. This is more inspired, mystical, spiritual. Maybe they had a vision. Maybe they got some message from the spirits. We don't know where they got this information from. It's a prophecy. Prophecy? Is the prophecy the noun and prophesy is the verb? Am I even saying that right at all? Prophecy. I don't know. Okay, has somebody prophesied a new Messiah? Do people think? Yes, of course, I think people think. People think on this date, on this year, the world is going to end. And then when it comes around and they're like, oh, I prophesied that wrong. I did some bad math. It's actually this other day, and that day comes and goes. What are you supposed to do with your life when your prediction, your prophecy, doesn't come true? Prognosticate. Oh, I think I learned this word in Groundhog Day. Prognosticators of all prognosticators, the groundhog knows all. Prognosticate is used less often than the other words. It may suggest learned or skilled interpretation, but more often it is simply a colorful substitute for predict or prophesy, as in prognosticating the future. Skilled interpretation. This is when, you know, of course, the groundhog knows when it's going to be spring or winter for six more weeks. But the weather people, they are kind of prognosticators because they are using their skilled experience to know, ooh, based on these weather patterns, I think this is what's going to happen. And the other weather people are like, I am prognosticating something else. Let's have a bet. I think they're doing a lot of bets in the weather room. Shroom! Now we have forethought. First form noun from the 14th century. Number one, a thinking or planning out in advance. A thinking in advance, planning out in advance. The synonym is premeditation. Doing your meditation before your real meditation. I have forethought, thinking ahead about what I'm going to do when I make my sandwich. Ooh, I'm going to think very hard. I'm going to plan out this sandwich before I make it. I'm going to get the bread and I'm going to get the vegan meats and the vegan cheeses and the sauces, and maybe I should probably put some veggies, some leafy greens on there because, you know, those are healthy. Yes, I got a plan. I'm going to storyboard it out, and I'm doing my forethought for my sandwich. Number two, consideration for the future. Just any consideration. Have you considered the future lately? Have you thought about where your future might take you? or where you might take your future. Put some forethought into that. Shloom! The second form of forethought is an adjective from the 15th century, and this one is archaic. The synonym is aforethought. Aforethought is a synonym for forethought. Wow. Wow. Shloom. Now we have forethoughtful. Oh, you're being so forethoughtful when you brought me a single rose and chocolates. That was very forethoughtful of you. Adjective from circa 1810. This is full of or having forethought. Clearly, forethoughtful is full of having forethought. Forethoughtfully is an adverb, and forethoughtfulness is a noun. So, when you do a whole lot of thinking ahead, planning out stuff for the future so you will be prepared, considering the future, when you're being forethoughtful, you are like checking the weather the night before of, are we going to need a rain jacket or are we going to need snowshoes? What are we going to need tomorrow? Because I'm the forethoughtful one, I have looked ahead and I have decided that all we need are swimsuits. That was very forethoughtful of you. Shloom! Next is foretime. Ooh, foretime? The time that happens before the real time? Noun from circa 1540. This is former or past time. Also, the time before the present. What's happening right now? This is not foretime. What happened before? That's foretime. There has been so much foretime. There has been, as far as we know, I think it's like, how old is the universe? 13.9 billion years? How old, universe? 3.787 billion years, with an uncertainty of plus or minus 0.02 billion years, which would be, 20 million years, I guess? This estimate is based on the observations of the cosmic microwave background. The cosmic microwave background, which provides a snapshot of the early universe. 13.787, give or take 20 million years. That says the uncertainty of 200 million years. But isn't that one point? I think the 200 million years as it actually makes more sense as the uncertainty, plus or minus. Or is it? Anyway, we got to move on. So that was the foretime, almost 14 billion years of foretime. What is our future time? How much time do we have in the future? It could be more. We don't know if we're closer to the start or closer to the end. Will there even ever be an end? 14 billion years is a lot of foretime, but we could have a lot of post-time. I've got 44 and a half, almost 45 years of my own foretime on this physical situation, known as this body. How much time can anybody predict? Can anybody prognosticate, forecast how many post years I shall have from this moment in time? I would like to think it's at least as many as I've lived already. Hopefully more if I'm doing okay. Let's stay healthy. Shroom. Now we have foretoken. First form, noun from before the 12th century. This is a premonitory sign. Or is it premonitory? I think it's premonitory. I think I had this word recently. A premonitory sign, a sign that is a premonition of something. Maybe the three-eyed raven would be a foretoken. It's a token telling you about something to come before it comes. Shloom. Now we have the second form of foretoken. Foretoken. This is a transitive verb from the 15th century. To indicate or warn of in advance. I shall foretoken you because I am the three-eyed raven. Maybe I don't talk like this. Maybe I should talk. How does a raven talk?
Squawk! I'm the three-eyed raven, and I'm foretokening you.
I can't do that. Okay, that's enough for foretoken.
No. Shloom.
Now we have foretop. Noun from 1509. People who work in the restaurant bar business, they say foretops all the time, but they're talking about four people at a table. It's a foretop, but this is spelled different. A foretop is the platform at the head of a ship's foremast. There we go. And I think we got more ship words. Here we go. Shloom! Foretopman. Or maybe it's foretopman. Noun from 1816. This is a sailor on duty on the foremast and above. He goes all the way to the foretop.
Shloom!
Now we have four top mast. Four and then top mast with a hyphen. Noun from 1626. This is a mast next above the foremast. So I think the foremast might be the one at the bottom, maybe. And then the four top mast or top mist is just the next one above. It's on top of the foremast. So it's the four top mast. How many of these masts are there? Masts and sails and stuff. All right. Now we go to
Shloom.
We have the word forever. Oh, this is going to go on forever. No, it's not that long, actually. First form from adverb from circa 1500. Forever. Forever, Southern people say forever. That's literally what the dictionary says. The pronunciation of the Southern way to say forever is to get rid of the R's altogether and say forever. That is the actual pronunciation of this here. Okay. Number one, for a limitless time, as in wants to live forever.
There are some people who want to live forever, and I just think that this is a very bad idea. The Twilight Zone has discussed this. You don't want to live forever. You're going to get bored,
especially if you can't die. Vampires, they're the most bored people on the planet. They're like, I've done everything. I've experienced everything. This is getting old, this living forever crap. I can't die. Maybe we don't want to live forever. Maybe we just want to extend our life for a while. But why would you even want to do that for way too long? Because you just got to work longer. You got to make enough money to survive. You got to eat more. It's like I'm going to be so ready to be done when I get to that point. I'm like, yeah, this is enough. This is going on forever. This life thing, it went on forever, it feels like. But this one is literally a limitless time. Limitless. There's no limit to forever. Number two, at all times, as in the synonym continually, constantly, all the time, at all times, as in is forever making bad puns. They can't stop making bad puns. They love it so much. They love to hear the groans of, oh, when you said that bad pun. Oh, my gosh, that was so funny. Ha ha.
You are forever making bad puns.
Okay, now we are going to go to Shloom. The second form of forever is a noun from 1858. This is a seemingly indeterminable time, also excessively long. Oh, this movie is going on forever. It is excessively long. When will it end? The example is, it took her forever to find the answer. There are times when I'm trying to find parking and I'm like, it took forever to find parking. I was driving up and down the streets, even the one-way streets. I was going the other way just to see if there was some parking spot that only existed if you go in that direction. But I didn't find any, and I just got yelled at by the people who were telling me I shouldn't go down a one-way street the wrong way. Maybe that's why it took forever. Okay, moving on to Shroom Forevermore. Are we adding on to forever? There's more to forever? Forevermore? This is an adverb from 1641. The synonym is the number one definition for the word forever, which would have been this one up here. For a limitless time, forevermore. By the way, there is no official etymology, but I think we can see that this is for plus ever. And specifically, if we want to get into it, I got to move this piece of paper over here. The prefix for, we had, so it was of all prohibition, da, 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 not that one, completely. Yep, I think it basically is completely and ever. Ever, totally, 100% ever. So now, we now go on to Schlurm. Foreverness. Now, you would have thought that they would have put this at the end of the forever section of all the other forms, but they did not, because it has its own definition. It is a noun from 1945, and the synonym is the word eternity. Foreverness is eternity. Maybe you can use this in a poem. The eternity of spam. The foreverness of spam. I think spam might have some foreverness because it is packed away in that can and it will probably last for an eternity. I don't think I've ever had spam. Spam, 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 and spam. Shroom. Next is forewarn. Transitive verb from the 14th century. Warn is W-A-R-N. This is to warn in advance. Forewarn, I am foretelling you my forewarning. Oh, that's the next word. Shloom. Forewarning. Noun from 1548. My forewarning, as I foretell, is that you should watch out for prognosticators because sometimes they're groundhogs. Forewarning. Number one, a warning given in advance. Number two, the state of being warned in advance. Oh, I am in a state of forewarning. You are telling me something in advance, so I am being told something before it happens. Forewarning. Okay. Shroom. Next is forewing. Noun from circa 1889. This is either or either of the anterior wings of a four-winged insect. The insect's got four wings, and the two in the front, right? They're anterior. They're in the front, though, so they got four wings. And then the other ones are probably called back wings, post wings, stern wings, last wings, second wings, crappy wings. I don't know. One of those, probably. Shroom! Next is forewoman. Noun from 1620, a woman who is a foreman. My frustration. Let's go back to the word foreman or foreman. Member of a jury who acts as a chairman and a spokesman, the chief and often specially trained worker who works with and usually leads a gang or crew. I mean, can't you just say a woman who does those things? Instead of a woman who is a foreman, because they're not a foreman, they're a forewoman. Okay. Shroom. Next is forward. Forward. This is F-O-R-E, and then the word word. Noun from 1842. This is prefatory comments, especially when written by someone other than the author. Prefatory. That is what is in the preface or the preface of a book. What does this person have to say before we get to the actual book. What do you need to know? What maybe this person is like, I'm a friend of the author, and I'm really famous, and I would just like to say that I read their book, and I give it my seal of approval. So here is my foreword. It's great. Yeah, the example is this would be in a book. The prefatory comments are in the book. So the preface is probably written by the author, what the author thinks you should know beforehand. The foreword is often written by somebody else. And do you think this book has a foreword? Who would have written the foreword to the dictionary? Nope, don't see it. Slurm. Now we have our last word. It is forewarn. But this is spelled W-O-R-N, so it would be F-O-R-E, W-O-R-N. It is an archaic version of forewarn without the E. So that's it, forewarn. All right, here we go. It's time to read the words and pick a word of the episode. We had forswear, forsworn, foretaste, foretaste, foretell, forethought, forethought, forethoughtful, foretime, foretoken, foretoken, foretop, foretopman, foretopmast, forever, forever, forevermore, foreverness, forewarn, forewarning, forewing, forewoman, foreword, and forewarn, or forewarn. I think I'm just gonna pick forevermore as the word of the episode. Forevermore, forevermore, I'm hanging out here forevermore. Yeah, that's fine. All right. I got a movie to tell you about. We watched this last night. This is a movie that I don't think I had ever seen, but I know my parents saw it when it came out, and so that was, I remember them talking about it at some point, and I don't know if Sharon had ever seen it. It's the movie Ruthless People, which is like, it's just a big sitcom episode where there is lots of misunderstandings, and it was just very entertaining to think about. There was a lot of phone conversations of one person thinks the situation is this, and the other person thinks that it's a whole different situation, and of course nobody ever says anything explicit. That's all just all very vague, so it could always be interpreted the other way, and it was just a lot of misunderstandings, and it was pretty silly. And boy, that house that he lives in is the most 80s thing. It's literally like the 80s just threw up in that house. And I was like, was this actually what the 80s were like? Is this normal decorations for a house? Or did they, at the time, in 1985 probably, where they were like, we gotta make it so now, so 80s, that when people watch this 40 years from now, they're going to be like, wow, those styles were amazing and colorful and modern. It was so cool. We wish we could go back to the 80s. Yeah, it was worth it just to see that house and the decorations. They must have had so much fun. Was that somebody's real house? I don't know. Okay, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out the show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. I have nothing to forewarn you about. Goodbye.